I invite us to hear the gospel reading for today. In the Gospel of John, this comes immediately after the wedding at Cana. It's the story of Jesus cleansing the temple. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their temples. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to them, "What sign can you show for us doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body, and after he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken.
Every time I hear this passage, I cringe a little and think of our annual churchyard sale when we turn our sanctuary into the marketplace. There are days in my life that I feel like Jesus taking the whip when our living room floor is covered with Legos or intricate Playmobil setups and there is no space to go, while all the dining room chairs and every blanket and furniture has been rearranged into a spaceship or a fort downstairs in the family room. I want to cleanse our house. This scene is captured in the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., in a window where Jesus cracks his whip at a television evangelist dressed in a pink leisure suit. The man drops his microphone as bags of money cascade to the floor. After the children's story today, there are new images connected to this story. I don't know what this scripture brings to your mind. As we look at the Lenten trajectory, Friedrich Buchner suggests that we journey with various questions throughout Lent. The first Sunday of Lent, we journeyed with Jesus to the wilderness, time of preparation, a time of temptation to seek the human things. And as Friedrich Buchner suggests, the question, what does it mean to be Jesus? Last Sunday, we journeyed with the question, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? As Peter struggled to know Jesus, putting his mind on divine things rather than human things, seeking to avoid suffering and Jesus' death. Today we journey to the temple in Jerusalem and the question, what does it mean to be the church of Jesus, the body of Christ? As human things get in the way of divine things, as the marketplace clutters the temple. In the Synoptic Gospels in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this scene comes toward the end of Jesus' ministry. And it serves as the catalyst for Jesus' arrest. In John, it is the raising of Lazarus that provokes the authorities and leads to Jesus' end. Here in John, the cleansing of the temple comes towards the beginning of Jesus' ministry, following right on the heels of the miracle of Cana, the turning of the water into wine. And in John, Jesus' words and actions announce more clearly who Jesus is and how God is present in him. Jesus emerges on the religious scene, upsetting the civic peace that the Roman and Jewish authorities are maintaining. And as the first miracle of Jesus, his first of seven signs in the Gospel of John, turns old jars that were used for purification rites into new jars, into new use for the wine for the wedding. It is in the temple scene that the old temple is renewed and replaced by Jesus. And so the disciples learn more what it means to believe in him during the wedding at Cana, during the miracle. And now in this passage, the disciples are trying to understand more fully who this Jesus is they believe in, as they remember his words and remember scriptures. If you see in verse 17 and verse 22, where the disciples remember what he has said and what has been written in the scriptures. And so Jesus enters the temple at the time of the Passover, when many people make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem for the celebration of the Passover feast, for the celebration that remembers the deliverance from Egypt that led to 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, where the Jews learned to trust the Lord. 40 days of Moses on the mountain to receive God's law. And before this, Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness. And so the Jews come to Jerusalem to celebrate and to remember the God who was with them. And when Jesus gets there and gets to the temple and sees what happens there as part of the celebration, in which the Jews were required to pay a temple tax, and they needed the money lenders because you couldn't take the coins that had Caesar's image, you needed the imageless coins. And you needed the cattle and the sheep and the doves to bring your sacrifice, which in its original meaning, the word sacrifice means to approach God. So these sacrifices were part of approaching God during these celebrations. And he sees what has happened. He gets angry. And John is the one that portrays Jesus more from the human side. Jesus gets angry. Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. Jesus gets thirsty. And St. Augustine wrote that hope has two beautiful daughters. Anger, so that was what must not be, cannot be. And courage, so that what can be, will be. Throughout history, we have seen anger, good anger, healthy anger, as Abraham Lincoln got angry at slavery, at Martin Luther King Jr. got angry at racism, at Nelson Mandela got angry at apartheid in South Africa. And so Jesus gets angry at the temple. Now, the temple was not like what our church building is nowadays. It was a big complex, about the size of a football field, filled with buildings and courtyards. The outer courtyard, which was the area for the Gentiles, where these events would have taken place. And then in one corner there was a big Roman fortress because of the Roman occupation of Jerusalem. They were also messing with the temple and trying to keep order there. And so then you enter to the court of the women, so Jewish women could go there. And then you entered into the court of the Jews, where they were allowed. And then you came to the place where they actually held the sacrifice, and only the priests were allowed in. And this was like, 22 feet high, a place in this. So it could be seen from the surrounding areas. And then you came to the Holy of Holies, where only one priest, like if you remember Zechariah, when he lost his voice, that was the one day in his life as a priest where he was allowed to enter the Holy of Holies. And so this was the area where the outer courts were, where Jesus, where all these events were taking place, and Jesus entered. And got angry, and how this had become not a place to approach God and to get closer to God, but a place filled with activities that took the space away from God. And so as we look at this text during our Lenten journey, we see at how Jesus calls the people to turn something old, something misplaced, something misused into something new, and points to himself. So let us look at how in our lives we create the spaces for God, the spaces to remember that allow us to understand more deeply. How in our church body we change the old to the new, like we changed the seating arrangement a couple years ago, to allow us to worship more fully and dwell in God's presence as God's body. When does worship turn into a marketplace? And when does a marketplace become a sacred space? What does it mean to be the body of Christ in the temple, in the marketplace? I drove Thursday morning up to Philadelphia for Mennonite Central Committee East Coast Board meeting and came back Friday night. And it felt like a sacred space. It kind of felt like a trip around the world, being exposed to the body of Christ. As I picked up three people in Harrisonburg, one was Luke Jacques Hurst, who works for MCC East Coast, who has served in Honduras and the Philippines, and whose daughter Grace currently lives and serves in the slums of Jakarta, Indonesia. And then I picked up two Mennonite Central Committee international visitors from the exchange program. One was Shenouda from Egypt, who works at the thrift store in Harrisonburg. And the other was Karen from Colombia, who works with the Spanish department at Eastern Mennonite University. And our conversations throughout the trip went around the world, talked about faith in various places, talked about economics, wars, and various things while I was trying to drive through Philadelphia and manage the traffic there, following the GPS with Spanish cell phone conversations going on in the back and discussions between Luke and Shenouda. solving world problems. And so on Friday we met at Oxford Circle Mennonite Church, which is located in Philadelphia, right next to a large U.S. Navy complex. And I know this because I drove around it because Luke had programmed the wrong destination into the GPS, so we ended up on the other side of this Navy complex. But throughout this these meetings, as I was listening to what MCC is doing around the world, I was finding these images of the marketplace turning to sacred space. As Deb King, the thrift store representative, shared about the thrift store ministry, which is a marketplace because it is actually generating 30% of MCC's income. And yet it is much more than that, as it not only uses that money for service and projects to help those in need around the world. And just 2 days ago, a container of relief materials left Akron for Jordan to work to help the Syrian refugees. It also creates a community, a body of Christ among those who volunteer their time to work at the thrift stores, to give of themselves. And as the materials are recycled instead of ending up on the landfill, contributing new life. We then heard from Benson Sibanda from Zimbabwe, who is an exchange visitor with MCC from Zimbabwe and is placed in Philadelphia at the thrift store there. He was sharing how he arrived in Akron, and in Zimbabwe the countryside is pretty dry and not very nice, but the cities are beautiful, and so he arrived in Akron and saw all this green and all the beauty, and he thought, oh, I'm going to Philadelphia, a big city. It will be even more beautiful than what this is. And he got to the neighborhood in Philadelphia where the thrift store is, and it's a pretty struggling neighborhood with lots of homeless and drug problems, and he was a bit surprised. But the thrift store that he's working in, he says, you know, they sell things and he works there, but it is much more. As people come in to buy something, they share their stories and their struggles from that day, from that week. And it turns into a ministry, and the place becomes something new. It becomes community. Benson also shared how his being here and everything that is familiar, the familiar structures being stripped away, he had to unlearn the old things and learn new things as he created space in new ways to grow closer to God as he struggled with patience, with perseverance in the new setting. Another woman who shared her experience was Yu Shan from China in the same program, who also works in Philadelphia, actually at Oxford Circle Mennonite Church in their outreach ministry, working in the after-school program. And her story gave me a new understanding of Chinese culture, just as she understands her own culture better as she is living here in America and seeing all the made in China things from an American perspective. And with the policy in China of single children, you know, she is a single child. She has few cousins. And if you follow this through generations, you have no aunts and uncles because your parents were single children. And so she doesn't really like children and has no interest in them. There is no babysitting in China. She has never planned a birthday party or a field trip. And here she was in charge of this after-school program, trying to relate to these kids. And it has been a very profound experience, as this is not just a program, but creating a community for children who are in need. Bruce Campbell Jans, the new director of Mennonite Central Committee East Coast, shared a story about his trip to the border with Mexico and the story of a private bus company right there on the other side of the border who is working with those who are deported back to Mexico. And these are not all Mexicans, because a lot of other Latin Americans proclaim they are Mexican, so they're not sent even further back because they know they're going to try and cross the border again. And so this private bus company, this marketplace, is helping those who have been deported from the U.S. by giving them reduced rates to get back to their home communities and by putting them up for 3 nights for free. Phil Enns Skyped in from Ontario. Phil spent the last 3 years teaching philosophy at an Islamic university in Indonesia and is heading to Kazakhstan next to teach philosophy there. And he talked about living and teaching in a very different environment and the work that happens in relationship as both sides, Christians and Muslims, have lots of misunderstandings and misinformations about one another, and how he worked on building trust and worked on conflict resolution. He said something very interesting as he reflected on the current world and the fight of terrorism. He says it is not the most devout, those with the most extreme views, and those seeking religious rewards that turn to terrorism. It is those who associate with the wrong friends, with the few that are misguided. And so to fight terrorism is to take these people away from their violent lifestyles and their wrong friends, and help them to see other people and make new friends. And he says the root of racism and terrorism is the lack of interaction with people that are other than us. These are all stories of people turning marketplaces into spaces of encountering God, in relationship, turning old structures into new structures and reshaping the world and the communities around them, shaping our faith in new ways. And I think that is in part what the book The Naked Anabaptist is getting at as well. And I'm not in that Sunday school class, but I think it opens our eyes to the faith practices that are cluttered by cultural things that cover up the essentials of our faith and is trying to make our faith vibrant and new. Steve Ratzlaff, pastor in Seattle, reflects on Anabaptism today. Following after Jesus was central to Anabaptism, as it is to Mennonites today. Jesus gave us a great commandment: love God with all your heart and mind and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. It is still most important, but also most difficult thing to do. It is the essence of discipleship. It is so much easier to place the emphasis on doctrine and confessions of faith as the core of discipleship. But to love people as Jesus did is the true mark of a disciple. But what does it mean to be the church, the body of Christ? What does it mean to remember and celebrate the one who was and is and always will be in the marketplace and in the temple? Years later, Jesus' words echo in Paul's first letter to the church of Corinth. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you. We are the body of Christ, both broken and beautiful. In us, God's Spirit makes its home. Our text today calls us to be the body of Christ in this world, in new ways. To welcome and share God's presence in our bodies, in our lives, in our communities, by our hospitality, our witness, and our life of prayer. Christ calls us to be a place of meeting between God and God's people, a living sanctuary for the healing of the world. The season of Lent welcomes us again to reflect on how we are doing this, to recognize God's presence in us and among us, and to seek to be the body of Christ. Amen.